Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Rio and The Conspirator. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film, and thank you for joining us. We're back from a short hiatus, mainly because there really hasn't been anything good in the theaters. So now there is. We're back, Mr. Movie.
All right, and I'm Mr. Movie, and it's good to be back. And for our first movie today, we have Rio, a G-rated animated flick about a pet parrot who must journey off to South America to find a mate.
Your macaw is a very special bird.
In fact, Blue is the last male of his kind.
I have a kind?
The only other Blue macaw is in Rio de Janeiro.
Brazil?
Rio, Rio.
Don't worry, I'm gonna make Blue look irresistible.
She's beautiful. She's like an angel.
Okay, I had nothing to do with that. But
you have to admit, it's actually a pretty good song.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie works every time.
At about an hour and a half, Rio is a fun, feather-flapping ride for the whole family. It has humor and combined with a touching story that epitomizes what taking the family to a Sunday matinee is all about. And this picture puts Pixar in a distant and pitiful third place among competing animated studios' recent productions. Now, this is certainly no How to Train Your Dragon, which we saw around this time last year from DreamWorks Animation, but it is worth the price of admission, at least in 2D. More on that later. In the movie, our feathered friends, Blue, voiced charmingly by Jesse Eisenberg, and Jewel, voiced by Anne Hathaway, are forced to meet and, well, mate. Their owners make them do this because they are the last two of their particular breed of the fictionalized blue macaw parrot species. But because they are so rare, they're also targets for smugglers who eventually steal the birds in an effort to export them to earn some money. Oh, but Blue can't fly. He's only ever lived with his loving owner in Minnesota, and as a pet, flying is not something he's ever really needed to do. In the opening act, Blue's owner is approached by this conservationist who wants to breed the birds with one of his own, and soon they're off to Rio to meet Jewel and fertilize her eggs and so on. But there's a problem in that, too. They don't really like each other. Sure enough, they're kidnapped, and they must work together to escape their kidnappers, employing some fine feathered friends along the way, and yes, even a bulldog, who is hilariously portrayed by Tracy Morgan in this. Now, Mr. Film, I saw this in 2D because, frankly, I didn't want to pay the $18.50 price tag to see it in 3D. So I don't know if the 3D was good or helped the story. I actually think it could have in this case. So if you can find a 3D screen playing this for under, I'd say, $15, or go to a bargain matinee, then I'd say check it out in 3D. But if the price is too high, 2D will do you just fine, too. Now, the animation in this is pretty good. I have to admit, though, I may be a little bit biased about this picture because I have two pet parrots of my own. And while these are clearly cartoon portrayals in the movie, they did get a lot of the movements right and captured a lot of the charm and characteristics of these birds. I really liked how they dealt with the anthropomorphic issue here, too. The animals can talk to each other, but not to the humans and vice versa. And the editing was just right and made for some good laughs that emphasizes the idea that while we can communicate with our pets on some level, we can't really talk to them. And thank goodness that when the parrots do talk to the humans, and I put talk in scare quotes here, that they sound like parrots. It shows that the makers of this movie really know their stuff when it comes to capturing the subtleties of the various parrot species. Rio has some good themes in here, too, about growing up and needing to leave the nest and make a life of one's own and, yes, even fall in love. It's sweet and cute and enjoyable for the whole family. I say take your kids to see this. It's definitely worth checking out. Sunday matinee, if you can get a good price for the 3D. I'm going to give this an A-, Mr. Film.
Oh, Mr. Movie, I don't know. I think you were completely bamboozled by this flick, just because you're just a loving bird owner.
I am.
Or bird companion. Sure, the birds are charming. The animation is good. I agree with you. It's quite good here. But the story, I've seen better, and it was called Rango. This is a five-numbers, feel-good story with no twists, turns, or subtlety. And while I like the whole discussion between the birds about being a pet or being free, I thought it was a rather superficial and sort of thrown in to present the requisite lesson for the kiddies and their folks. I know, this is a family film, but that doesn't mean it can't have depth or something a little more special, like, character development, particularly for the humans. You know, you're in trouble when the humans are more inanimate than the little bird creatures. And some surprises, including the whole, that whole flying thing, I thought that was a little bit much. I mean, I kind of saw how that was going to play out. It could have done something a little more interesting with that, I think. So, while I wasn't blown away, I did sort of like some of the film. There were moments that I was very entertained. I liked that it was a very colorful, very bright film, which I really liked. Blue was a good character, though. Jesse Eisenberg just did a variation on his turn in Zombieland, so that kind of bugged me a little bit.
Yeah, he was channeling Michael Cera, too, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, and a little Woody Allen thrown in there for good measure. And it was nice to hear Anne Hathaway sing. She does sing in a couple points in the film, particularly at the end. And she does have quite a good voice and I think brings good energy. Now, while you pointed out Tracy Morgan as the maniacal bulldog, Luis, who was terrific, I want to give kudos to Jemaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords fame as the evil Nigel, who's a evil cockatoo.
Yeah.
He was terrific, and he has a song in there. He does sing, with Fly of the Conchords, so he can't, he is a singer, it's been part of his life, and he was great, and I like the song he sang. I like the way it was animated, and I hope that he does more voice work in the future, because he really brought a real good energy, a real good characterization to Nigel. But for the film was, I thought it was fairly tedious. It did seem to keep the kiddies in the audience that I went to engaged, but I felt antsy pretty early on. So for the voice work and the animation, I'm going to give this one a B. So,
well, that's not too far off. I mean, I don't know. I thought Rango was just had a lot more problems than this did. And I also liked about this the fact that the conflict just wasn't just between the good guys and bad guys. There was actually a lot of conflict between the two good people, yet their interests were at odds. So there was a lot of good drama built into there. It wasn't just a good guy versus a bad guy and we just have to wait and to see how it plays out. It was actually kind of interesting, and I thought a little bit more complex than you're saying you wish it was. So
I like that whole thing, but I think there should have been. They have a couple of musical numbers which they don't quite work. Didn't quite work for me, and I think that would have been actually a good place to put in a musical number to talk about how Blue like doesn't mind being a pet or an animal companion or however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
But he likes being taken care of by human companion Linda, and whereas Jewel, she likes soaring and being free and being out in the woods and singing with her friends and things of that sort. So I think that really was a missed opportunity to do a really cool sort of thing. That would have been, I think, a more because Nigel has this great song where he talks about how being evil and terrible and awful, and I think that would have been a really great moment to have there. So I like that they had that in there. I just think it was just kind of thrown in a kind of ham-fisted sort of way.
Yeah, the musical numbers were a little bit jarring. It was like, is this trying to be a musical? But I thought at the end of the day it was a fun movie. So
I didn't hate it. I mean, it's one of these kind of I had a kind of a strange feeling because there are moments that really worked for me, like the ending moment, that kind of starts wrapping everything up. That worked for me. But there were points in the film where it's like, okay, let's just get moving here. And so parts of it just didn't really quite work for me. And I don't know, maybe I suspect also maybe this is one of those films we've talked about this in other shows that sometimes it's like where you are that day or where you are on that particular day when you go see a film. I suspect I may also not have been in quite the right mood to see this. So I'd be interested to see, like, revisit this on DVD in 6 months and see what my thoughts are on this. So I might be willing to go back and revisit this one down the road and
All right.
See where I am on this. So maybe that, maybe for the end of year picture, because I think that this might be a contender for you, at least for the best picture of the year. And
well, it's not best picture of the year.
I mean, not best picture, but yeah. You know, the top 10. And you know, maybe we'll revisit that.
This is probably the number 11 or 12th movie or something that doesn't quite make the cut. But yeah, it's really fun. So I say go check it out.
I think if you have kids, I think I've seen much worse so-called family entertainment. Some of the trailers for the so-called family entertainment that's coming out in the next few months just looked abysmal. So spend the $10 to go see this. I'm kind of with you with the 3D. I think maybe with some of the flying sequences that might have worked.
Yeah.
I also saw it as a 2D film.
Okay.
But that might be a discussion for another day. I think this whole 3D business is a little bit, sorry for the pun, for the birds. I have not seen a 3D film, 3D film yet. Either in its 2D form or its 3D form, that I thought, yes, this definitely deserved to have this 3D.
Oh, I think How to Train Your Dragon was definitely really very rewarding in 3D.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, but you know, Avatar, for instance, I thought, yeah, it was okay, but you know, I think as a 2D film, it would have been is just as good. So I. Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying it's even a really good film. I'm just talking in terms of the 3D experience, the technology. So I think the one thing I liked about the fact that Rango was just a 2D film,
they had
the confidence in the story and in that 2D process to just release it as a 2D film. So I think that is a pleasant sign. I know Pirates of the Caribbean is coming out in a few weeks. That was designed as a 3D film. I've seen the 3D trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a different take on 3D
films.
That'll
be a good test.
Yeah, I think so. So it'll be interesting to see that picture. So that in a few weeks we'll talk more about that, I think. So
all right.
So moving on to our next film. We have The Conspirator, the latest serious drama from director Robert Redford.
You aware the trial of the conspirators begins today?
What are we to do?
Defend one of the eight.
Her son John was Booth's right hand.
Someone must be held accountable. People want that.
To ensure the survival of this nation, I would do anything.
I can't know what's going on in that courtroom.
You set the rules, pick the judges.
There is no limit to how far the prosecution is willing to go!
Our founding fathers drafted a constitution precisely for times like this.
All in favor?
It's April 14th, 1865. The Union has won the Civil War. Celebrations are rampant throughout the District of Columbia. But not everyone is happy about the turn of events. And by the end of that evening, President Lincoln will have been gravely wounded, and a young lawyer played by James McAvee will be on the verge of seeing his life changed forever as he's asked to defend one of the conspirators. The PG-13 rated, The Conspirator is a handsomely mounted, true-to-life recounting of the trial of Mary Surratt, played by Robin Wright, by a military tribunal about a month after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And while director Redford gets all the facts and the atmosphere right, there's something missing from this 2-hour-and-6-minute flick from Lionsgate that keeps us it from ascending to the lofty heights it hopes to reach. Now, Mr. Movie, I know you're a big courtroom fan, but I suspect that you were rather disappointed with the courtroom scenes here. Now, I think they are true to life, true to what actually happened, but they're not very compelling. But I was even more disappointed by the fact that we really don't get into the heads of any of these characters. This could have been a fascinating character study. What motivated the men who wanted to see Mary Surratt, the only woman to be accused in the conspiracy to kill Lincoln, to see her pay for her son's crimes? Who was Mary Surratt? Was she a conspirator or a dupe? And why did McAvoy's Frederick Aiken, a decorated war hero for the Union, continue defending her when he was given a way out? Now, there are some partial answers, but they seemed rather pat to me and not very compelling. Now, screenwriter James D. Solomon could have taken some lessons from the recently released The King's Speech in playing a little fast and loose with history by emphasizing the personalities involved. I would love to have seen Surratt and Aiken really go toe-to-toe, two people absolutely convinced of their position who start as adversaries but end up respecting each other. I do want to point out that the opening of the film, which shows the assassination, is really compelling and quite well staged. I think for me, it was my favorite part of the film. About a year ago, I did go to Ford's Theater, and this felt as if it was either shot there or at least was a perfect facsimile of the site. This is probably one of the one part of the film where the true-to-life history really works on this real visceral level. I mean, you really kind of hold your breath through most of that sequence. So I want to give Kalina Ivanov and her crew kudos for the period detail. Now, Redford has gone on the record that he isn't commenting on the current political situation with this film, and I'll take him at his word. But even if he is, so what? This wouldn't be the first time an historic parallel is used to comment on a current political or social problem, and that's his, you know, his right to do so, and I don't fault him for that if that he wanted to do that. So I'll take that with a grain of salt. But it really doesn't matter further because the film is so stately, so dull, that it verges on the catatonic in spots. Now, what could have been an interesting picture is delivered on a gilt silver platter as bland can be. So I'm going to have to give this one a B-.
Yeah, I'm pretty with you on this one, Mr. Film. And I do love a good legal drama.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of liked it in some spots, but I cringe at the point of it all. I mean, is it ultimately that our government is corrupt and the right principles cannot prevail? It's kind of like that old argument that Lincoln had slaves. You know, it sort of misses the wider picture and principles involved.
Yeah.
I was pleased to see Kevin Klein in a finally redeeming acting role. He plays the Secretary of War in this, who will stop at nothing to do what's right for the nation by sacrificing the rights of one individual. You know, his motivations are good to see a swift justice be done in light of the president's assassination, but his means of doing so are by violating the rights of a woman who doesn't exactly appear to be guilty, at least not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just seems to lose sight of all of this, and its theme is much better and more justly carried out in, say, Judgment at Nuremberg. We don't really get back to the fundamentals and are left with a feeling that justice can't be had in a world of corrupt men. Now, I concede that that point is true in some circumstances, and it is certainly true of Mary Surratt, the woman on trial here, and I thought Robin Wright played the role fine. And we've all seen bad people get away with bad things, but that Redford chose this particular story in our nation's history at this time, it just reeks of kind of left-leaning agendas that use the cover of our nation's founding principles to serve an end which has nothing to do with the principles on which this nation was founded. And this is ironically sort of a reversal of the error illustrated in the story. In one case, we have the error of the means not justifying the ends, and in the other, the ends are not justified by the means. But I digress. You said that Redford, that this wasn't his intention. I kind of don't believe that. But,
yeah.
But, you know, if you can get around that, we do get a decent legal drama with James McAvoy portraying, he's kind of a reluctant hero, you know, who upon faced with all this evidence must see the case through to its rightful end. And it even may cost him his career, and it might even tear him apart from the woman he loves. So there's a lot of elements here of drama that could have been a lot better if it was emphasized differently, I think, that you well pointed out. But, he is an inspirational character in that sense. And the courtroom scenes, you said, you know, you touched them upon, they said that you said you thought they weren't that good. I don't know. I kind of like them, but, you know, I'm a sucker for those anyway. So even if they're not that great, I still eat them up. But
yeah,
there are a lot better movies to be had with themes like this, too. I mean, The Winslow Boy, for example, which has a much more satisfying ending and a memorable line such as, "Let right be done."
Yeah.
So I say, let right be done and rent David Mamet's The Winslow Boy or Judgment at Nuremberg.
Yeah, I vote for Judgment at Nuremberg. That is one of the great pictures of the last 50 years and on many fronts. And what's great about that picture, it is a character drama. It is about who these people, all these people are.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you don't get this here. You don't really get who anybody really is. And that was kind of my big problem.
That's true.
And there is some historical evidence that Mary Surratt was not a dupe. She really was a conspirator. There's going to be another film that'll be coming up on HBO in a few months based on a book about the hunt for John Wilkes Booth, which basically posits that Mary Surratt was a much more involved with all of this. So it'll be interesting to see that picture, how that's put together. But there was just nothing here. I mean, there was just nothing to hold on to. There was nothing. The King's Speech, I mean, I talked a little bit about that. I think that's a better example of how you can do a historical drama about something that's very important to those people. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is it that important? This obviously had some bigger philosophical issues that they were wrestling with.
Yeah.
But it did it in a very compelling, humanistic sort of way. And I mean humanistic in its best sense, that you get into who these people are and you turn them into human characters. They're characters. They're three-dimensional people that you get to know and care about. And I didn't really care about any of these characters at all. They were just playing – they're putting on clothes and had mustaches and beards and they were – saying their lines like a reenactor would. So,
yeah, that's true. I think really only see this if you're going to for the historical drama aspect. But don't lose context of the wider issues in there, because the injustice that's shown here was righted later by the Supreme Court, that's sort of indicated in the closing text of the movie. And I wish that Redford had gone on and dramatized that for us. I mean, maybe tell this story through a Supreme Court trial and flashbacks or something like that. Now,
yeah.
I think that would have been the right way to tell this tale.
It was the telling of this tale that was really wrong. I think you really hit on something there, because they had some flashbacks that were kind of interesting. I think that would have been a really interesting way to build the case for or against her. And I don't know. I don't know. There was just a lot of missed opportunities with this picture. And we could be talking about that. You know, we could be armchair directing this for the next week. And I think probably come up with a much better film. But, you know, it's Robert Redford. He got the budget. He made the picture. This is what we have to live with.
Yeah. And as it stands, I'm going to give it a C+. Now, you seem to actually be kind of more down on this than I am, so I think maybe your B- is a little overly generous, but
maybe. I like the fact that they were at least historically accurate.
Yeah.
And maybe that is. I like the intention of it, no matter what Redford's political agenda was with this, I think his motivations are in the right place, even if he might. I might not totally agree with his parallel.
Well, see, my point was that his motivations are sort of in the wrong place, but his methods are actually pretty good. So,
yeah, I think it was a well-made picture. It just missed on some really on some fundamental thing areas. So I'm like you. There are parts of the film I really liked, and then there are parts of the film I really it was just terrible.
Yeah.
So it was a real mixed bag for me on this one. So I'm being a little overly generous here, but I'll stick with my B-.
All right, fair enough.
All right.
Well, that's all we have for this show. Tune in for our next show, where we will be reviewing Water for Elephants. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
And that's all we have for this week.
All right.
So visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or a question or want to send us some feedback, just write to mail@moviefilmshow. We also have a comment line. You can call 818-581-2010 and leave us a message. And that's all for this week. Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
Trailer here, bark, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Blap, blap, blap. Sing, sing, sing.
Okay.
I think this whole 3D business is a little bit, sorry for the pun, for the birds.
Maybe tell this story through a Supreme Court trial and flashbacks or something like that. Now,
yeah.
I think that would have been the right way to tell this tale.
I would love to have seen Mr. Film and Mr. Movie really go toe-to-toe. Two people absolutely convinced of their position, who start as adversaries, but end up respecting each other.
I think that would have been the right way to tell this tale.
Trailer. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Hang, hang, hang. I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I'm innocent.
Mr. Movie and Mr. Film, our kind of reluctant heroes.
I did go to Ford's Theater, and
I have two pet parrots of my own.